Somebody told Curly a while ago that he sung good last night. I said, with a little age on him, he'll do better.
Yeah, I started singing with him when I was 16. He was 82 at that time. Open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. I appreciate the good singing and appreciate the privilege we have together today in the house of God. I appreciate all of our visitors, and I appreciate 3,000. They'd be good, wouldn't it? 331 of us being together today, and I praise the Lord for all of you that are here, and I trust that the Lord will bless. I know during the winter time we have a lot of sickness and colds and flu and things like that, but I appreciate your faithfulness to the house of God, and praise the Lord for his presence today, and I'm glad for all of it. I'm glad for all of you who are visiting this morning. Thank you so much for being here today, and we welcome you in the name of the Lord. Genesis chapter 18, would you stand one more time with us today as we read the Word of God? And I'll not take time to read all of this chapter because we'll be covering much of it this morning as the Lord gives us the time. But I want to look at it today from Genesis chapter 18. I want to preach this morning on holy fellowship between holy friends. Holy fellowship between holy friends. Chapter 18 of Genesis. And the Lord appeared unto him, Abraham, in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. After that you shall pass on, for therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hasted into the tent unto Sarah and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal. Knead it and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf, tender and good. He gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Wherefore, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? May we pray. Our Father, as we bow our heads again today, we thank you for the great privilege and honor this morning to stand and preach your word. Lord, just to read your precious word. And our Father, I pray now that you will, Lord, to touch us today afresh and anew and infill us and remove anything from us, Lord, that would hinder, Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us this morning to preach what you'd have us to preach. And our Father, we have a big subject, but our Father, we want to preach what you want us to say. And I pray, Father, today that you'll bless our visitors and, Lord, bless all of our people. And our Father, have your way, be exalted alone in this service in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. This man Abraham, a great portion of the book of Genesis is taken up with the life of Abraham and how God dealt with him in his life and how that he had. And then we come to the life of Joseph. But here in Abraham, who is known as the father of the faithful, there's three characteristics that are seen in this story about him and about Abraham. And I want us to look at it. And the gist of this story is this morning that Abraham received, recognized, and reverenced God Almighty. And I want to look at it this morning, these, and I want you to look with me. We're going to see Abraham briefly this morning as a servant in verses 1 through 8. We see him as a saint in verses 9 through 21. And in verses 22 and 23, we see him in his element as a son. But look with me first of all this morning in verses 1 through 8. And I want you to see Abraham in his ministry as a servant. Now notice this morning here that Abraham, it starts out just as any typical day would start. Abraham is sitting as they did in those, they dwelled in tents in that day. Abraham is sitting one day in the door of his tent, resting himself. And before he's aware, three men approach him. And Abraham sees them. And you know, you never know when God's going to show up. You never know when God is going to speak to you. You never know when God's going to visit you on your job. You never know when God's going to visit you in your home. You never know when God's going to visit with you in your car riding down the road. And we always ought to be aware of him and aware of his presence. And I want you to look with me first of all this morning as we look at this. The scripture in verse 2, I want you to see the swiftness, and we look at him, and I want you to see Abraham, the ministry of a servant. Look at verse 2. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. I want you to see, first of all, this morning, the swiftness of Abraham's ministry to these men. He was quick to recognize, but I want you to see something. I wonder, how did Abraham know that one of those men was God Almighty? How did Abraham, three men, and this is one of those Old Testament, what we call theophany appearances, in which God appeared to man in another form. And there was something Abraham knew instantly that one of those men was God. Abraham recognized that God Almighty had come to visit with him. I think the greatest honor that can be paid to us today is when the blessed Holy Spirit comes and visits our heart. When he comes and visits our services. Hey, and it ought not to be anything unusual for the Holy Spirit to manifest himself when you come to church. My soul, folk, that's why we come. That's why we're here, is to worship. That old time song that they used to sing, brethren, we are meant to worship and adore the Lord our God. Would you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? And so when Abraham saw these men coming, he didn't wait for them to come to him. He ran to meet them. And folk, we ought to be quick and we ought to be swift about recognizing the presence of God. I mean, we ought to be swift to know and be aware, and the Holy Spirit will let us know when he's got something that he wants to say or wants to do. But not only the swiftness of his ministry, but I want you to look at the sanctity of his ministry. And look at verse 3, and he said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight. And he said, pass not away from me and from thy servant. Hey, you know what Abraham said? Lord, I don't want you to leave till we have some fellowship. Amen. Hey, you listen, we ought to want him to hang around. We ought to want God to stay in the neighborhood. Amen. We ought to want him. And he said, just wait right there. And he ran and said, get you some water and wash your feet. And sit and rest yourself under the tree. And I read that under the tree. And I tell you, that's where the basis of our fellowship is based on the tree of the cross. I have fellowship with him this morning because I've accepted what he did under the tree. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm glad this morning that God has what we need. The swiftness of his ministry. The sanctity of his ministry. Look at verses 7 and 8. Abraham ran into the herd and fetched a calf,
tender and good, and gave it to a young man, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before him. And he stood, look at this, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Notice this. Here's what he did. He came and he gave God, when God came to fellowship with him, he gave him himself. The Bible said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 that we are to yield ourselves unto God. We're to die unto him. We're to live for him, but we're to give ourselves. Did you know this morning that nobody else can give to God what you can give to him? They can give things in your name, but they can't give God you. You're the only one that can do that. You're the only one that can yield your life to God. You're the only one that can give God yourself. You're the only one that can say, the Bible said, Romans chapter 12, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable. I can't give God you, but you are the only one who can give God that gift. You give God a gift that nobody else can give him, and that is yourself. And so then not only the swiftness and the sanctity, but notice the silence of his ministry. When he gets their food ready, he stands there and he takes the pose of a servant. Abraham's the richest man in that part of the country. Abraham owns everything. Abraham could have had servants to affix for them men, but he did it himself. He prepared that meal himself. He had Sarah to help him. And Abraham could have called for servants to serve the master, but he served him himself. Listen, Jesus said, the greatest among you will be your servant. I don't know who the greatest person is in this room this morning. I don't know who that is, but I'll tell you this, whoever he or she is, they don't know it. But listen, the greatest act that you can give this morning is to be a servant to others. To be a servant to others. Notice this, that Abraham, a servant has no will of their own. A servant is there simply to do what the master says. Could I tell you this morning that a servant, that Abraham is just standing there to see if they need anything. A servant just simply stands by to see what the master's next instructions are. Amen. And when you yield yourself as a servant to God, you do what he tells you to do, but you just stay with God and just listen for him to give you the next instruction that he wants in your life. Lord, Abraham did that. Abraham, I see him as a servant. But I want you to look in verses 9 through 21, and I ain't got time to go over all these verses this morning. But I want you to see his message to the saint. Look at verse 9. And two of these men were angels. Two of these men were angels. Two of these men are accompanying the Lord Jesus. And the Bible said, they said unto him, where is Sarah, your wife? Now they knew where she was. They knew. Did you know that, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever did occur to God? Amen. God doesn't have to ask me to inform him of anything. He knows all about me. He knows the end from the beginning. Notice this. And he said, she's in the tent. In verse 10, notice what it said. And he said, that was Jesus. That was God appeared. And he said, I will visit you, your wife, at this time of life, and she shall bear a son. Now, he'd already promised Abraham in the 17th chapter that he was going to give him a son. You say, but he already had a son. He had Ishmael. Yeah, but listen, it wasn't by Sarah. God had said, I'm going to give you a son through Sarah, your wife. Listen, Ishmael was from her handmaiden, from her slave girl. And they thought, well, we're getting too old and we'll just have to help God out so God won't look bad. Ain't that like us? Amen. We'll hang around a while and God don't move when we think he ought to. We figure we got to help him out, save his reputation. And so they got ahead of God and had Ishmael. And Abraham, when God said, Abraham, I'm going to give you a son of your wife Sarah. And it was that she was past childbearing age. He was past the age when he could produce seed. But God said, and Abraham said, let Ishmael stand before you. And he said, no. He said, I'll take care of Ishmael, but I'm going to give you a son. And now here he repeats that promise. It wasn't he had to reassure Abraham, but he wanted Sarah to hear the promise. And Sarah stand back there and she said, she stand behind the tent flap, she just laughing. And the angel said, why did she laugh? And woman, why did you laugh? Oh, she said, I didn't laugh. He said, oh, but you did laugh. Oh, listen. Amen. He said, yeah, but you did laugh. Listen to me. Hear me. Notice this is the affirmation of the child. God's repeating that promise for Sarah's benefit. And when she laughs in doubt, God reminds her that he knows everything we're thinking, that he knows everything we do. Listen, Hebrews 4:13, the Bible said, for all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And that phrase there, with whom we have to do, means with whom we'll face in judgment. There is a God this morning, folk this morning, that knows all things. He knows, he sees, he hears, and you ain't got a thing hid, and I've not got a thing hid to him. But he knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're doing. A little girl came to her Sunday school teacher going out the door one morning, tugged at her dress, and she said, teacher said, why does God want to spy on me? She said, what do you mean spy? She said, when you every Sunday you say God sees everything you do and knows everywhere you go and listens to everything you say. Why does he want to spy on you? Oh, she said, honey, he ain't spying on you, but he just loves you so much he can't take his eyes off of you. Amen. Can I tell you this morning, he loves you. And he watches everything. You say, I wish he didn't, but I'll tell you what, you better be glad he does. Because you get in trouble, you'll get in trouble. Sometimes the devil will kill you. Sometimes if God wasn't watching and they're ready to intervene. And I see him as a saint. We see him as a servant. I see him as a saint. God says, I want to tell you, Abraham, I'm still going to give you that boy. Then I want you to look at it in verse 18. Come on down in verse 16. And the men rose up from hence and looked towards Sodom. And Abraham went with them to bring him on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Now notice something. Abraham was called a friend of God. Notice in these verses, they get ready to leave and go down the road. And it's just like it wasn't, but it's just like it's an afterthought. Those two men are looking towards Sodom, and God's looking towards Sodom because their sin is known to him. That sin of homosexuality and the wickedness and the filth and the dirt of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham's got a nephew that's living down there. Abraham was a holy man, a righteous man, a man who feared God. And God stops and he says, I can't leave him until I tell Abraham what I'm fixing to do. Boys, I want to tell you something this morning, folk. That we've been preaching here lately, the past few weeks, about spending time in the presence of God. I want to tell you, friend, listen, don't be in such a hurry to get away from his presence. He got some things he wants to tell you. Amen. He's got some things he wants to say to you. And notice what he said. He said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? He said, I'm getting ready to send judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham's my friend. How wonderful it is when God will entrust you with his plans. How wonderful it is that you're in a position that he'll share things with you. Listen. And God wants to share his best with you. Listen to me this morning, friend. God's presence and God's fellowship and the intimate things of God are not reserved for a bunch of super saints, Because there ain't none. Every one of us came out of the same mold of dirt. Every one of us had to go through Calvary. Every one of us live our life every day by the grace of God. Amen. There's some who may trust him a little bit more. Some who may show love more to him. But listen to me, God will give his best. God will share. Austin Miles wrote that song, "For he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I'm his own." Look at verse 18. "See that Abraham shall surely become a great mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." Now look at verse 19, the first words. "For I know him." For I know him. Folk, God knows me, and God knows you. You may say things and do things that you may not understand why you do it, but he's the divine physician. He knows us. And God said, I'm going to tell Abraham, I've got some special thing that not everybody knows. That crowd down in Sodom and Gomorrah is partying and having a good time, and they don't know that destruction is fixing to hit them. But I'm going to tell my friend Abraham. You know why God told Abraham what he's going to do? He didn't tell him to brag on him. He told him because he knew Abraham would intercede. Now listen to me this morning. "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." God told Abraham one day, said, "Abraham, I'm going to multiply your seed." "What do you mean, Abraham?" "God, what do you mean you're going to multiply my seed?" I'm going to make of you a great nation." "Well, Lord, what do you mean a great nation?" He said, "Well, count stars." And Abraham starts foolish like 1, 2, 3, 4. And he gets up to 514. He's got a crick in his neck and his arms getting tired. And he says, "Lord, I can't count them." Well, he said, "Try the sand of the sea." And Abraham reaches over to get some sand in his hand and starts trying to pick out little grain and said, 1, 2. Lord, I don't think I can do that either. And he said, "Abraham, I'm going to multiply you. I'm going to make of you a nation greater than what you can imagine." Amen. Hey, listen. God wanted a church. So he planted his son at Calvary, put him in the tomb, but brought him out 3 days later. Amen? Amen. Amen. God said, "I know Abraham. He'll follow me and he'll lead his family to follow me." But now look in verse 20. "And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because of their sin is very grievous." I was reading that, Jim, this week, and I thought to myself, I could understand their sin being grievous, but I wonder where that cry come from. And old Lot was as backslid as he could get. And he's down there in Sodom. And I wonder if Sodom had not done like a lot of us have done, dug himself a deeper hole than what he could climb out of. And I wonder if Lot down there in his heart wasn't crying out and said, "Oh God, would you help me? Oh God." And God said, "The cry of Sodom has come up before me." And he said, their sin is very grievous. Did you know today, folk, have you noticed lately, Christians, that the homosexuals are taking over more and more and more? They're running for offices, getting elected. They're even ordaining them to preach in a lot of denominations. You're welcome. Amen. They've got their own TV programs. They're blatant about it. And they're saying God made us this way. Hey, listen to me this morning, friend. God's not unholy. God's not unrighteous. He's a holy God. He's a righteous God. And he made him Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And the homosexual crowd is pushing and pushing and pushing and flaunting in our face. But here's what God said. Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they've done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. Look, somebody was interceding. I believe Lot, even his backslidden state, I believe that in his heart he longed to get out of that junk. But he had his family, he led his family down. Hey, listen to me, Daddy. You could, just for the sake of a God Almighty dollar, and for the sake of a little bit of position and being accepted in the higher echelons of society, you could sell your family into hell. If you read the Word of God, and I ain't got time, but if you read this scripture, read it, that's all of Sodom, a Lot's family, didn't come out of there when he came out. He lost part of his family. He got out, but he lost part of his family. Listen to me. I will go down now and see whether they've done all together according to the cry of it, which is done unto me. And if not, he said, I will know. Yes, he will. Listen to me. Listen to me. He heard Sarah when she laughed in unbelief. He heard the cry coming out of Sodom. He saw that sin that was grievous unto him. And he knows what you're doing. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what we're saying. He knows. He knows. And hear me. None of us will get by God. God's a holy God. And friend, listen to me this morning. If he lets America get by, if he lets this old world of the United States of America get by with our sin and what we're doing against the holy God, he'd have to resurrect Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize to them for what he did. But look at it. Verse 22, and the men turned their faces from hence and went towards Sodom. Boy, I love this. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord. The angels, you read on down in the latter part of this chapter, and in Genesis 19, and those two men went down. Two's a number of witness. And they went down, those angels, and told Lot, listen to what they said. Now hear me. When Abraham started praying and interceding, when God said, look, Abraham, Sodom and Gomorrah, I got to destroy them. Listen to me, folks, this morning. God always has to, and God will, judge sin. Listen to me. God forgives sin. You and I sin against God. And all we've got to do is to go to him in humbleness and humility and repent of our sin, turn from it. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. But hear me, he must judge sin. I know he judged sin in his Son at Calvary. That's why all my sin, past, present, and future, can be forgiven and were forgiven. You say, well, if he paid for it, how come we had to confess it? For fellowship's sake. For fellowship's sake. And he said, Abraham, listen, those two men went towards Sodom to start the final throes of judgment. But the Bible said, Abraham
stood yet for the Lord. Abraham stood just as a servant to see if there's anything else that God had to say to him. Listen to me this morning, folk. Abraham interceded. It was hard for Abraham to hear that God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because he had family down there. He had a nephew and his family down there. Boy, it's hard for Abraham to hear. And Sodom and Gomorrah was full of pride and sin. And they was marked for destruction. Had just a few hours to live and didn't even know it. How long do you think we've got? But here's the thing, and I'm getting ready to close. Abraham said, God, would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? And you know what? There was four. God said, no, I won't do that. They couldn't even find 10 righteous in the city. That's why I know that part of Sodom, because the Bible said when Lot told his family that God was going to judge the city, we've got to get out. The Bible said he appeared to his sons-in-laws as one that mocked. They thought Lot, you're just upset. But four people got out of that city. And the angel's word to them was, don't look back. But Lot's wife had to have one last look. She'd got down there and got involved and got the sewing circles and all of that, you know. She got involved, and probably president of the garden club. And she had to look back one last time. And folks, when God says get out, God means get out. And when God says don't look back, God means don't look back. And that's, listen. Here's what I want to tell you while they come to the instruments. We're living in a world that's marked for destruction. God is going to destroy this old world you and I are standing in. But before he does that, he's coming to take the righteous to be with him. I'm going to be with him, not because I deserve to be, but because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansed me from my sin. Amen. I've skipped through a lot of this morning. But listen to me. This world is marked for destruction. This world is marked for utter annihilation. But there's a rapture coming. And if you're washed in the blood, thank God. Amen. I'm going out in the first load. Amen. Amen. But I want to warn you this morning. Listen to me. You may not be living in Sodom and Gomorrah, but where are you living this morning? I remember a boy I went to school with in eighth grade. Was in a car and ran head straight into a tree. At high speed. And he laid in the hospital for two or three days in a coma. The preacher went by the hospital room to visit his mother to have prayer. She wasn't saved. And he said, wouldn't you like to get saved? You need the Lord. And here's what she said. My boy has gone to hell. And I'm going to hell so I can be with him. I ain't willing to go to hell with none of you. Amen. If you want to have fellowship with me from now on, you're going to have to get ready for heaven. Because by the amazing grace, thank God one day he didn't throw the clay away. Amen. You say, but preacher, you don't know me. You don't know me. I've been saved, but you don't know how I've failed. And you don't know what kind of life I've lived. You don't know what I've done. You don't know the smutty words I've said. But could I tell you this morning, if you'll come to the potter, and mean business, he won't throw the clay away. but he'll just make you again. Amen. Let's stand by our heads. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow today, we're grateful to you for your love and mercy. Father, I ought to be in hell this morning with a broke back. But God, I'm thankful that you love me. And I'm glad the precious, sweet Holy Spirit spoke to my heart as a 6-year-old boy and warned me of judgment. And I'm glad at the age of 8 that I made my way down to an old-fashioned altar. As best I knew how, trusted you as my Savior. Lord, I believe there's some people of faith in this room this morning. Some of them, Lord, have got a lot of, every one of us could think about some people today that we know that's going to hell. If the rapture take place right now, they'd be left behind. And oh God, help us to know and realize that while we're here, that you demand holiness out of us. You demand righteous living. You demand righteous talking out of us. Lord, we who are saved live in a world that's marked for utter annihilation, utter destruction. And oh God, while we're here, we can have fellowship with you. But God, may we not be resting back on our laurels, that we don't try to get our family, we don't try to get our children, our mamas and our daddies saved and warn them to flee from the wrath to come. Father, I pray this morning for folk here today who've been saved, but they've gotten, Lord, they've not lived for you. Oh God, may the Holy Ghost of God in convicting power, Lord, seize on their soul this morning. And God, help them to know this is a serious thing. And God, you're a serious God and you mean business. You mean what you say. Oh God, Lord, may folk come this morning and get right with you, confess and repent of their sins, and determine they're going to walk out of this church this morning and walk a different way. Live for you. God, there's folk here today that's got people that's dying and going to hell in their family. And Lord, they've never even witnessed to them. Oh God, may we live so that this world can see Jesus. May we live so our families can see a reality and see a difference. Then our Father's folk here, no doubt this morning that's lost. God, help them to know that there is a hell. And that if they reject Christ and they die before they get home, that hell would be their home. But help them to know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you, Father, for heaven. Thank you for the love of Jesus. Thank you for the love of God that sent his Son in the world. Our heads are bowed. I know it's after 12 o'clock, and I've tried to hurry through the message. I've left a lot of it out this morning. But I've told you enough. If you'll believe it and accept it, God can change your life this morning. I'm going to tell you, if you're here this morning, you've been saved, you've really and truly been born again, and you've got back in sin, you're living in sin, you ain't going to get by. God's going to judge you. God's going to judge you. If you don't get right, God's going to judge you. And it won't take him long to do it. What about you this morning? Would you slip that hand up, preacher? I've been saved. I know I've been saved. But I'm not living for God. I have no fellowship with God. I have no fellowship with him. Preacher, I know that there was a time when I trusted Christ as my Savior. But I'm not living for God. My life is displeasing and dishonoring to the King that loved me. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up this morning? God bless you. Somebody else, would you lift that hand? Yes, I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. Yes. Someone else. Yes, I see your hand. I see your hand. Oh, I see your hand this morning. Oh, church, would you pray? We're going to stay till we do business with God. We're going to stay and give folk a chance to do business with God. I want to ask you this morning, you lifted your hand. You know you've been saved, but you know you ain't living where God will have you to live. And you need to come this morning and let God clean you up. I want you to slip out of that seat and come on, will you? Slip out of that seat. Come on down this aisle. We'll have somebody pray with you. Come on. Will you do that? Amen. Ed, would you come please and pray? Amen. Yes. Come on. Yes, come on. Yes, come on. Amen. Jim, would you come and pray with this young man? Amen. Doris, would you come pray with this lady over here beside of him? Listen to me this morning. Oh, listen this morning. God wants to help us today, folk. This whole world's under judgment. This world's under judgment. And we need to get right. We need to make sure that we're saved. We need to make sure that we're going to be with Jesus. Would you slip that hand up this morning and say, pray for me? Some of you lifted your hand and you've not. Would you just respond? Would you just let God have his way with you this morning? Come on, will you slip out of that seat? Come on. On my left and on my right, there was hands that was raised, went up. Come on, will you? Come on. Listen, judgment's coming, folk. Yes. Judgment's coming. God's not kidding us. God's not just trying to scare us. God means what he says. God hates sin. God will forgive you, but he will not let you get by either way. I want for somebody here this morning to say, preacher, I've never been saved. Pray for me. I'm lost. I'm going to hell. Pray for me, preacher. Will you slip that hand up and say, remember me in prayer? Will you, while we wait for just a minute? Come on, will you? Will you slip that hand up? Get honest with God today. Listen, God bless you. Bless your heart. Come on. Won't you come on, get ready? Come on, you know you need to. Come on. Slip out of that seat. Come on, let me pray with you. Come on. Don't let the devil drag you to hell. Don't let the devil drag you to hell. All he wants to do is just keep you waiting and putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And he'll say, you can't be forgiven of this and you can't be forgiven of that. But the devil's a liar and all he wants to do is drag you to hell. Come on, will you? Come on, let me pray with you. Come on, let God have his way. Make that move, will you? Make that move. Come on this morning. There's destruction coming, friend. And all of those who've been marked with the blood is going to get out. Come on, will you? Come on. While we sing, just as I am without one plea, please, the altar's still open. Will you come? Come on. While we sing.
Just as I am without one plea.
Come on. Come on.
But that at thy blood
was shed
for me. I come just as I am and waiting on to rid my soul of one night lost. Pity is blood and cleansing spot.
Would you say to him, I'm coming home, Lord. You're a come. Come on. He won't turn you away.
Oh.
as you are. Don't try to think you got to straighten yourself up, then come. Come as you are. Amen. While they're still dealing with folk this morning, this precious lady comes this morning. Give me your name.
Jamie Delaney.
Jamie Delaney. Jamie, tell the folk what happened to you this morning, what the Lord's done in your life.
I've been saved, and been saved for quite some time now. I had to leave the church that I was with because I had a divorce. Mm-hmm. Please, bear with me. I brought my son back to church with me this morning.
Amen.
Brought my new husband, Eric, with me this morning. I've been out of church, and I want to be back home.
Amen. 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 It's good to get home, ain't it? It's good to get home. Hey, folk, listen. Sooner or later, you're going to get right with God. One way or the other. One place or other, either here or at the judgment, but you're going to get right with God. And you just might as well just get right this morning. Get right on this side of life and enjoy the trip. Amen.
Amen.
Somebody said, all my problems built with when I get home. Well, I'll tell you what, I can enjoy a lot of it now.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. One of these days, I'm going to give the devil a permanent wave. And he knows that. I ain't no beautician, but I'm going to give him a permanent wave one of these days. Amen. One more verse. Will you come? Come on.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come.
Dear man comes this morning to rededicate his life to the Lord.
Amen.
Here's what he said. I'll just paraphrase it. The doctor had to put him on some medicine, some antidepressants. And there's no shame in that. No shame in that. Sometimes you have to take things. But he said, they got me on so much medicine, I got so numb that I couldn't even think to pray or do anything. And hey, it don't take long, folk.
Right.
Do you know the devil's slick?
Yes,
he's an idiot, but he's slick. And he'll use anything. I'm not all of us in here probably have to take medicine for one reason or another. But the devil will do anything he can to defeat us. He knows if you've been saved, he can't get your soul. He knows that, but he wants to defeat you.
Right.
He wants to defeat you. Amen. And I want all the men that can. I want you to come. I want every man that wants to will come, and we're going to pray for him. And I just want you to just gather around him this morning. All the men that will, not, whether you belong here or not, this is not a membership. I want you men and pray. We're going to pray for him. And we're going to ask God to help him. We're going to ask God to help him and give him what he needs. And if he has to have medicine that God will give him the sense and the know-how to regulate it and so forth. And he said, I'd rather do without and know what it's doing than to not talk to God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just put your hand on the back of the person that's in front of you, and we're just going to pray this morning. We're just going to believe. And Father, I thank you this morning,
God, for the privilege of prayer. I pray, God, for this dear man that's come today. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'll deliver him. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you, God, will give him, God, deliverance. Lord, whatever his need are, when he has to have medicine, I pray, Holy Ghost of God, that you'll protect him, and Lord, that you'll surround him and shield him. Lord God, today, thank you, Father, for grace and mercy. Thank you for the precious blood of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Thank you, Father, for grace and for goodness, our Father. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. We bless your name. We give this dear man, we put his, give his life. You already have it. Lord, by an act of our will, Lord, we yield him to you and ask you to take him and enfold him and hold him and shield him, God. Thank you for his honesty, dear Lord. Amen. Yes. 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 You say, you all are a strange church. I know it. We hope to get worse. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glad for all of you here today. Appreciate the goodness of God. Don't forget services tonight. And pray that the Lord just continue to move and bless. Youth meetings at 5. Thank you for coming. Thank you who are visiting with us today. God bless you. Give me 5 seconds, and then you can stampede to the Shoney's.